live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 139 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Yes, God. Closer to 150.
Chugging along, oh, right? God.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I'm always amazed at like just the numbers and how they just keep going up. Because I remember like us. Like, all right, trying to figure out around this time last year, like, what are we going to do for our 100th episode? So to be close, this close to 150 is amazing. Yeah. Truly remarkable.
Yeah. I'm loving it. Yes, God.
Yeah, but let's jump right into this who's really right, because you know I've been stewing on this whole this thing with the college football playoff. I'm not happy with I'm not happy with how it all shook out.
Not at all.
I think the part of it that I am the most unhappy with is just that Georgia did not take care of business in the SEC championship. And it's as if they were relying on the fact that they had done so well all season and that Alabama was just going to lay down.
No. If you don't know Nick Saban then,
yeah,
Kirby.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
For this, who's really right, it's all about our predictions of how this college football playoff is going to shake out.
Yeah.
And so I am struggling with this because I know what I want to happen, but I think I know what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, tell me what you want to happen first.
I want Cincinnati to beat Alabama.
Okay.
I want Cincinnati to beat Alabama.
Okay.
I don't think that Alabama, even though they beat the number one team, I don't think that they should have just been able to leapfrog everybody to be number one.
No.
I feel like Michigan should have been number one. And if they really wanted to have a rematch of the SEC championship, which is, it looks like that's the way that they formatted the playoffs, then they should have just had it in the semifinals.
Right.
Right. And so the fact that Alabama just leapfrogged everybody, made it to number one, they gave no credence to the fact that Cincinnati is the only undefeated team in this playoff. I have a real disdain for the fact that, like, if this is what we're going to do, if it's always going to be an SEC bias, and I get it, I understand that they are the top conference in college football, but we see them falter all the time, especially when it gets later in the weeks of college football. And like, I'm just, I'm tired of seeing it. I just really am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if this is what we're going to do, we're going to use human bias, because somebody's going to have a problem with everything. If we're going to use human bias and error to, you know, pick these teams, I'd rather just it go back to the computers.
Right.
Just allow the computers to pick 8 teams instead of 4.
Right.
And let them duke it out that way.
That's it. No, I agree. I was very disappointed. I agree. I was disappointed to see that Alabama was number one. And I don't think because you beat the number one team that just should have automatically just taken you to number one, simply because the week before you struggled to beat a team that wasn't even ranked. You just happened. I think it's some kind of mental block for Kirby when it comes to playing Alabama, honestly. And so, you know, that's your boy, that's your, you know, mentor.
Right.
And I feel like there's something there that just keeps you from being able to put your foot in their neck and just keep it moving. Right. I really do. And so what I'm going to predict, which is against what like you, what's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm just, I'm going to say Cincinnati's going to beat Alabama.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Watching this Cincinnati team this entire year,
mm-hmm.
they have a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've had these conversations about the level of talent
mm-hmm.
at SEC schools versus the other conferences.
Yeah.
And like we talked last week, I believe, about like why Brian Kelly would go to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I feel like we had this conversation as well that Alabama is an Alabama of old. They beat Georgia. That's true. I feel like that's a Georgia problem, not an Alabama dominance thing.
Right.
This is probably the most vulnerable Alabama team that I've seen come to this point in a long time.
Right.
And I feel like if Cincinnati, if they got just a wee bit more in them than Georgia had,
yeah,
they can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Cincinnati can beat Alabama.
Okay.
I feel like Georgia is going to drag Michigan because they pissed about what they did last week.
Yeah. So my mind tells me that'll be the, but they can also be completely demoralized. And that's what I'm like, my heart tells me that part.
Oh God.
And so I don't know what to go with, my mind or my heart.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just go with my heart. I want Cincinnati in Michigan to play for the national championship. And this is purely one because like I'm upset with Georgia that they didn't get the job done. Like I'm upset with Georgia that they didn't get the job done and that I had to hear Roll Tide all week at the gym.
I'm so
upset by that because
so
you know, shout out to Wheelay. I was with Wheelay in that tweet.
Absolutely.
I got Georgia by 40.
Right.
40, 50.
Yeah.
Like, and for them to come and lay an egg like that is just.
Yeah, they laid an egg. They did.
You know.
They laid an egg. They did. But I feel like they're going to redeem themselves because they've been the number one team the whole season.
Yeah.
For a reason. They've been the number one team all season for a reason, right?
This is where I knew that we would kind of be on opposite sides of this argument because
mm-hmm.
you know how much I wanted Georgia to win last week.
Right,
you know it. You know I can't stand
right.
Alabama.
Right.
But after looking at Georgia's schedule and looking at the teams that they beat and where those teams are now, I don't know that their strength of schedule now at the end of the season mm-hmm. is what we thought it was at the beginning. Like, how good does that win against Florida look now?
Well, that's not their fault that Florida didn't hold up for the whole season.
It's not their fault, but it tells us a story about exactly who Florida is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So, like that game, I want to say, so it was
early on the Clemson games. The Clemson game started
because Clemson was number three at the time.
Exactly.
Right. And so because we thought Clemson was Clemson and that Georgia knocked them off, Clemson wasn't even in the ACC championship.
No.
And so they beat Auburn, who mm-hmm. ends up not being Auburn, the number 18 team in the country. They beat Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They beat Kentucky. Now that win was kind of legit. But like when you look at it, and they beat Arkansas. I think Arkansas was number 8 at the time.
Mm-hmm. They played ranked teams, but they just didn't stay ranked.
They didn't stay ranked. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So in retrospect, looking at all of those teams, it's like, you know, at the time we saw those as quality wins, but in retrospect,
mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to take it away from him. At the time, if it was a win at the time, I'm giving it to him.
Yeah.
At the time, it was.
I understand that, but it brings me to where we are today with.
Yeah.
Why did they lay such an egg against Alabama? And maybe they just weren't who we thought they were.
Oh, no, I don't believe that. I honestly believe this is a Kirby thing. I ain't going to lie.
Well, I can agree with you on that because.
Yeah.
They did the same thing in the national championship last year,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I don't know what to make of it, but I just know that it annoys me enough to just say like.
All right, so you got Michigan and Cincinnati, okay? Yeah. All right, no,
I'm gonna go with my heart.
I can't go against my dog. Sorry, that ain't happening.
Yeah, no. I know you weren't going against that.
No, I ain't going against my dogs. Yeah. But I'm hoping to see Georgia Cincinnati. National championship.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. But like you started this out. What's probably going to happen?
Yeah. Rematch.
Is we're going to see a rematch of the SEC championship.
Right.
That's probably what's going to happen, which means at that point, I probably won't be watching.
Oh, yeah. No, if I got to watch a rematch, so God bless y'all. However, it turns out for those of y'all who think that this is going to be the moneymaker. God bless y'all. I won't be tuning into that game because I don't want to see, like, we don't want to make everything.
We can't lay down again.
Yeah.
I can't watch them lay down again. I can't. That is too many years in a row.
I'll congratulate Georgia if they win, but I will be voting with my eyes by not watching this and not giving credence to the idea that we wanted to see the rematch of the SEC championship.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Y'all let us know. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Y'all let us know who y'all think is really right. Step is going with Cincinnati, Georgia, and you got Georgia winning the whole thing.
Of course.
I am going with Cincinnati, Michigan, and I got Cincinnati winning the whole thing. Okay. Shout out to Luke Fickell. This somehow makes his way all the way back to Ohio State. It makes its way back to Ohio State. Luke Fickell is a Ohio State guy, came from Ohio State. He was there with Urban Meyer. He was there with all of the
All
the way back to what, 99?
Yeah, I can't even think his name right now. Great. Ooh. I can't think of his name, but yeah. Their coach.
Oh, Jim Trestle.
They had Trestle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, y'all let us know who y'all think is really right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, topics. All right, so you told me about this one, and I'm split. Like I'm split on this because it's like at this point, why do we even have a Rooney Rule? But if you're just going to do away with the Rooney Rule and say, like, for those of you who don't understand what the Rooney Rule is, it's pretty much affirmative action for. You know, professional.
It ain't pretty much. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's affirmative action for professional leagues, and so it started off with the NFL. The owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers came up with this rule to give more opportunity to minority coaches, so that they could get. At least interviewed for some of these positions. And what we've seen from the Rooney Rule, other leagues adopted it, like the MLS. I don't think the NBA did.
They didn't have to.
I don't know if they really had a problem.
One place, I don't see it as an issue. Like it was,
it's an issue. It's an issue.
It is.
Ownership and upper executive.
Yeah. But not the coaching level.
Yeah, not at the coaching level, which is.
And then that's only recently even started to be not true, even in the last decade or so. Because it was for a while where it wasn't a lot of pretty much African-American coaches.
Right.
Even head coaches in the NBA, but that's really shifted in the last decade or so.
Definitely.
So that's definitely not a place where. They don't get at least a shake. You know what I mean? That's not true. Yeah.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that what we've seen from the NFL is that they are circumventing the rule
Yep.
By basically bringing in a minority candidate, interviewing them, and then going with the person that they really wanted. And so the rule isn't doing what it intended to do, because we're not seeing.
And now y'all bribing, trying to bribe people.
Right.
Don't bribe nobody. Who wants to be the coach of a team that they had to get bribed to be it? I don't want that.
At all. At all. And so we're seeing that Major League Soccer has amended their Rooney Rule.
Yeah, because as it stands right now, 25% of their players are Black.
Yeah.
And only 7% of their assistant coaches and 10% of their head coaches are Black.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. They're good from the Latina standpoint with coaches, because, you know, that's 30% of their league or more. So, but yeah, it's the black coaches that they are making the rules. And so I'm going to read, it says the updated policy provides a specific definition of underrepresented groups. The definition includes Black or African-American, Hispanic, Latinx, American Indian, Alaska Native, Asian, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, Canadian, Indigenous, Canadian First Nations, women, and members of the LGBTQ plus community. I love it.
Yeah.
So here's the part that even, I don't think any of the, a lot of these people that they are considering in their definition of underrepresented have not been defined in other leagues to this degree.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I don't think they left a person out.
Right.
I don't think they left a person out. So I love that. And so I feel like they're going to, we'll see how this is going, if they're going to do like the NFL and just have this rule in place where you have to interview them, but then you can still pick who you want.
Yeah.
Or are you going to give people an actual fair shot?
Right.
So we'll see. I just love that they even took the initiative.
Yeah. And that's dope. I think, you know, when I first saw it, and that's why I say this is kind of bittersweet. Like, you would hope that there doesn't need to be a Rooney Rule, but we know that it does. We know that injustice still exists. Absolutely. We know that, you know, prejudice and bias still exists.
They do.
And we know, you know, unfortunately, we know that white privilege still exists.
It does.
And so these rules are meant to combat that.
Yep.
And when you see them get circumvented, it's like, why even have it? But
it just, that's why go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, just for the MLS to amend it and be so inclusive and, you know, for them to at least try to say, okay, like, we see this, what's going on in other leagues. Like, we're going to try to get this right. You can't do anything but applaud that. So, shout out to the MLS, NFL, you need to follow suit.
So I'm reading, I'm sorry. It says the changes that are required are now that they have to have that the finalists before an open technical position include two or more non-white candidates, one of whom must be Black or African-American, as part of a renewed effort to prioritize opportunities for Black candidates. Mm-hmm. Previously, the policy only required one diverse candidate to be interviewed for open positions. So they've upped the ante on the number of people. Hiring organizations must also demonstrate that the interview process includes candidates with comparable experience for all candidates in the finalist pool. Previously, teams could violate the spirit of the rule by interviewing candidates whose qualifications did not match.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was giving them the reason to say, well, we can't give them the job.
Right.
So they have really, they really went and thought of this. I feel like they've been much more thoughtful. And shout out to the Black Players for Change, which is an organization. And it's an independent organization of about 170 MLS players, coaches, and staff.
Yeah.
They were instrumental in helping the MLS to incorporate these new changes to the policy.
That's it right there.
Yeah. Oh, and SCORE, which is Soccer Collective on Racial Equality. That's just Black former players.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to the MLS. Like this is it's good to hear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm actually doing something that is going to promote some change and isn't just pageantry exactly. and lip service.
What? Right. That's right.
All right.
They said, oh, yeah, this is good. It's good. This is good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we moving on to your boy. I know you love to hear this. Steph Curry.
This is my boy.
If you guys have not seen our IG post recently, at the end of every IG post, we hashtag Steph's personal life coach. So yes. Steph can be Steph's personal life coach.
Yes, come on, Steph.
We need y'all to make that trend.
I'm waiting, bro. I'm waiting. Listen, so I know if people see it, they probably think, because my name is Stephanie. Right. So they see it and they think, but no, that is literally, so my brother Jared is slick campaigning for me. Because he knows how much I love the Curry.
Yeah.
And would absolutely, it would just bring me joy to be able to do work with that family.
Yeah.
Literally. And so, Steph is it 10 away now? 10 away.
Is he? And that was based off last night?
I don't know. Let's see if this was, he might listen because he said he was going to get 23 hours ago. He was 10 away.
Yeah.
This is an update. He's 9 3-pointers away.
Okay. Yeah.
9 3-pointers away from tying Ray Allen's all-time record for 3-pointers. 10 away.
Ten from breaking it. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're right.
So he went 6 for 17 on Wednesday.
Okay.
And so,
so they didn't play last night. That's right.
No, that was Wednesday. They played the Trailblazers. He went 6 for 17. So they said Allen made 2,973 threes in his 1,300 game career. Mm-hmm. Through 786 games, Curry has made not 2,960. So we talking
almost
half the time.
Yeah,
half the time this man, and his cycle like this is amazing.
Yeah,
I use Steph Curry. Oh, so you know with coaching, I'm always telling people about how other things like our mind is a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes in reframing your thought process, when I'm having conversations with my clients about reframing something that they're thinking in order to get to what they want to get to,
right.
I often use Steph Curry as my analogy that because he has been so diligent to practicing, shooting, the muscle memory is just there now. He doesn't even think about it. Like they showed last week, he was in the stands and shot a ball. So that's muscle memory. Mm-hmm. It's not even because it's not even about the distance I'm walking off the. Because he can shoot from the 3-point line to the logo to the other side of the court to the stands. So it's the muscle memory, and so that's what I'm always trying to use that as an analogy. I use him because you know how I feel about Steph Curry. I use the analogy of Steph Curry all the time. To help my clients understand how they need to work towards, you know what I mean? But this dude is amazing. That's all I'm going to say.
He is.
This dude is amazing.
As much as I be wanting to hate on him, I just can't.
You
want to
hate on the Golden State Warriors. You don't want to hate
on Steph. Nah, not Steph. As much as I don't like the Golden State Warriors, that guy's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That just that you, in not even 1,000 games,
right.
And you about to break this man because you did not even 1,000 games. And you're about to break this record. So what is it going to be by the time you're done with playing?
Unreachable. is what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be.
I just said, this is crazy. Yeah. So, good luck, Steph.
Yes.
I hope you do it in the very next game, honestly.
Yeah.
I do. I hope you, so if he can play, if he can, in the next game they play, break Klay Thompson's record, single game record.
Oh, right, yeah.
Of 14.
14?
Yeah. 14. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was psycho all in itself right there. Hello?
But, like, but the, what? The fact that it was 14 off of what, 11 dribbles or something like that? Something crazy?
Listen.
And he's coming back.
Efficient. Right. So just get ready. He's not. This is going to be ugly, okay?
I usually don't start watching basketball until... No, nah, I definitely watch the Christmas game. I usually don't start watching basketball until, like, right after the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to watch basketball this year.
Why?
Because the Golden State Warriors are going to win the NBA Finals.
You already got a prediction.
It don't even matter who else in the jump. The Golden State Warriors are not going to lose many games.
No.
You mean to tell me they're top five in defense and their top defender has not come back yet? Like,
exactly. What?
Who has a chance?
And you got Steph. Let's not leave that out.
Yeah, no, of course.
And Klay. Listen, you get to be a defensive juggernaut and a pure shooter. Listen, it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to watch every game.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Single moment of it. I want to see every single moment of it. Yes. I love it. So, yeah. Kudos. Kudos to Steph.
Definitely.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to our Heisman Trophy finalists. Yeah. So, it's looking like we have Bryce Young, Kenny Pickett, Aiden Hutchinson, and CJ Stroud. I am glad to see Aiden Hutchinson.
I knew that was coming. Me too.
I'm so glad to see him.
They shouldn't even call it a Heisman Trophy. They need to name it something else.
The quarterback
trophy. It's just going to be quarterbacks. That's all y'all ever put. It's not fair.
It's only ever quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks and running backs.
And Alabama running backs. No, not just running backs. Alabama running backs.
Right. So, it's going to be somebody from Alabama. It's like they bribed somebody.
Yeah.
It's how I feel about New England. Like, y'all bribing somebody.
What's happening here?
What is this? Because every year you're going to have somebody in the Heisman run. Right. And you're going to be number one or close to it in the country. Like, what is that?
Yeah. So who do you see winning it?
Oh, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it.
I
don't want to say it. But I think it's Bryce Young.
It's Bryce Young.
I would like to see CJ Stroud win.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback from Ohio State?
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be Aiden Hutchinson, but...
Of course you do.
Yeah. I just love when defensive players win it. I think the last defensive player to win it was Charles Woodson.
Wow. How long he done retired from football?
Right.
Jesus. Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's not good. But, yeah, no, I like CJ. I felt like the person that I felt like should have been in this finals wasn't in it. So, I kind of don't have a Julius Jones from Georgia.
Did you see my face?
I saw your face. It's okay. But I felt like he should have been in this. What human being you know? Okay. I see your face. Well, you know what?
Okay, so I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been in it up until last week. But last week is what probably got him eliminated. Yeah.
He got hurt. I mean, how is that his fault?
You can't make the club in the tub.
You know what? Wow. Yeah, but he definitely. But that's okay. He don't need no Heisman because he's finna go to the NFL and wreck shop, baby. True. So it's really okay.
I'm gonna tell you what'd be vindication if they end up winning the national championship, because it's the same thing that happened with Vince Young. You remember Matt Leinart won the, it was either Matt Leinart or Reggie Bush won the Heisman that year. And he was like, oh, y'all gave him the Heisman? Hold my beer.
I see this one,
I felt like Caleb Williams would have been in the running if it wasn't for the last couple weeks. But, you know, Bryce Young's going to win it.
He's going to win, and I don't like it.
Yeah, he's going to win it.
I don't like it.
I don't even.
I don't even feel like freshmen should have an option.
No, I think so.
I don't. Because what does this do to your head? Because you got to go play 2 years. Have to go play.
You do, and
you can't. This isn't basketball. You still got to go play 2 years.
That's true, and the pressure will just be on.
It just seems unfair, like to do that to some. I don't know, but
if they have the clearest, like best season, yeah. Like if right now, if Oklahoma was where Alabama is right now, like I think that it wouldn't be any doubt that Caleb Williams would be a Heisman finalist. And possibly if they were in that position, he'd be the winner.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, he's gonna win. Doggone it. Yeah. We grumbling about this one. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We just not.
Nobody want to talk about that. All right.
Real roll call. So I got something to do for real roll call because I think I want to say when we first started it, I said that I was going to do this, but didn't. So, you know, real roll call is the purpose of real roll call is for us to not eliminate so many topics that we wanted to talk about so we could stay in the time. But also, you know, give them a time limit so that we could talk about them, you know, quickly. And so I'm going to use the timer for these.
Okay.
And so
the first one going to go real fast because we already talked about it.
I think both of them will. Okay. but we did already talk about
this. We already talked about this first one. Yeah.
All right. So the first one is, did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right? And go.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Alabama should not be number one. And I don't agree with it. And I feel like if anything, you should have, it should be Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama, Georgia.
Michigan, Cincinnati, Alabama, Georgia.
Or you could switch Georgia and Alabama in my head.
No. Yep. So, okay. And I think that does put It still puts it.
They would have still been playing the same, pretty much playing it. Well, Cincinnati, Georgia, but I would have, because I would have switched it. I would have had Georgia at number three and Alabama at number four. Still,
probably. No, I would have.
So they would have still been playing the same.
I would have had Alabama at three and Georgia at four. And even though that kind of feels
like. So they still been playing the same.
Yes, they end up still playing the same team. No, actually, I would have had. I would have had Georgia drop out.
I'm gonna need you to go away. don't play. You want us to get off this real road? Right.
All right, next topic.
Yeah.
All right, the Patriots beat the Bills the other night.
Right.
With three total passes.
You gotta read it like I said, a whole NFL team.
They beat an NFL team with three total passes. And you put it in, you put a question mark at the end.
This really happened.
Now what happened? And go.
So you said it, we talked about it briefly before we started. This was the genius of Bill Belichick right here. Right. He did something that the Bills were not expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And because let's be clear, Patriots are not known for a run game like that. Right. They are known for being a passing team,
right?
I.e. having Tom Brady. But it was genius on his part.
Right.
Crazy for the NFL, but genius on his part.
It wasn't all that entertaining, but we don't expect.
I don't have Bill Belichick. I don't have those expectations for him. No, and they like the Spurs for me.
Yeah, when you run for 200 yards on the ground, you don't need to throw the ball.
You know,
because the whole
so they can name stop of
the game,
it.
Right. the whole name of the game is to hold on to the ball for as long as you can and keep it out of the other team's hands. And when you're doing that,
check.
Yeah.
Check.
That's a win.
Check. We just live in a world now where the NFL is so high power offense, throw the ball.
Right.
So we expect that all the time. Was kind of weird. And three, yeah. I don't care what your offense looks like, to have an offense that actually did not throw the ball at all is weird to see. That's all.
Yeah.
Just weird.
Well, that's it for real roll call. But yeah, you know what? I had something I wanted to add too. I had some, like, you know, when you send them, because Steph's back to it, she's doing it now. Look, I took it over for a second when you were out, Step, but then I was like, give it, I want to give it back, Jesus. So after I looked at it though, when you sent it the other day, I was like, nah, this is good. This is straight. Okay. This is all the stuff that I just wanted to talk about. So
yeah.
But that's it. That is our real roll call. We kept it real short today.
Listen. Efficient. Now,
yeah, I know you wanted to go in on that last one.
Did you just say take Georgia out? Okay, listen, that's a whole conversation all by itself. Don't play.
Well, so given and because we used up so little time, I just want to say this. Given a couple of years ago when we said, like, our thing was making the conference championships kind of the quarterfinals, the playoffs.
Right. Right.
Like in that scenario, because Georgia lost in the SEC championship, Alabama would represent. And so that was my only like thing of doing that. But I also kind of did it to be annoying because I'm the annoying little brother.
Yeah. It worked. No. No, sir. Don't play with me about my daughter. I'm disappointed, as disappointed as I am in them for that performance. They still my dogs. So yeah. Yeah, I'm a peach. Through and through. Whatever.
I'm not even going to say that.
Okay, great. Smart idea. Let's go.
All right. Feel good final thought. Yeah. All right, this is the second week in a row when you had on to the real. But, you know, we will come back with that in our mental health moment.
That definitely,
As those stories come to us and move us, you know, we'll definitely use them. But
absolutely.
Our feel-good final thought for this week is my cleats for a cause. And so this is something that the NFL started doing like maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's a league-wide unveiling of custom cleats where the players get to wear cleats, kind of detailing their charities that they are supporting.
Right.
And so these charities go from anything from sex trafficking prevention, to support for single parents and for youth wellness. Mm-hmm. And so some of the cleats that we've seen, you know, during this time have been very entertaining, to say the least.
Definitely. I love all of the, first of all, the work that they've given somebody, right? Because artists are having to create these cleats for them.
Yes.
So that in itself is dope, right? You're giving these people, and I hope that at some point, whoever created your shoe, you're giving them props somewhere in your social media or something, because the intricacy of these shoes is amazing.
Yes.
Like some of these shoes I've seen, I'm like, that's like, you need to put that on the wall. That's a piece of artwork. Right. What is that? Like, wow. But some of the ones that we've seen are, I know Cordell Patterson for the Falcons.
Yeah.
His cleats, I can't remember the name of the organization offhand, but I know it is like a support group for people who have lost a child.
Yeah.
And he and his partner lost a child a couple of years ago, I think. And so I know those were pretty dope. His shoes were pretty dope. Trevor Lawrence, his for youth. I like DK Metcalf's.
Yeah.
For social justice.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? I can't see his name. Eric, I can't see his name, but I know his shoe. He plays for the Steelers. Can't think of his last name right now. Eric, but his was for man, I can't see that. I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on, give me a second, because I want to be able to tell you they were really dope. I like the shoe.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll tell you in a second. His shoes were. I know it's for disease and awareness prevention.
Uh-huh.
It's the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Okay.
For Parkinson's.
For Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease. Okay.
Yes, they were dope. Then we of course had they said like community outreach, food and water insecurity, COVID, healthcare yeah. support, first responder support, sexual assault prevention, environmental conservation, disaster relief, gun violence prevention. And I think those were timely.
Yeah, definitely.
The gun violence prevention after mm-hmm. the incident that happened in Michigan.
Yeah.
Domestic violence awareness, which mm-hmm. and prevention, which is always for, especially the NFL,
right.
a cause that I think that they should absolutely take up.
Yes.
And then they're human trafficking.
All the time.
Prevention. All the time, literally all the right. time, and human trafficking prevention. So who else has some really good, I think, what's his name? Chase Edmonds for Special Olympics. His okay. shoes were dope. Yes.
That's it. Shout out, yeah. Shout out to them.
Oh yeah. Autism awareness, like I mean, it's just they yeah. were just it was just to me. That's the exciting thing to do is to watch to see what everybody's
who's
like.
Wearing what, right? Yeah,
like I love it. Nate Burleson,
mm-hmm.
his yes, like I just love it. I love the whole thing. Just the idea that I think it's important to see that it lends to the human side of these. For me, that's how I look at it. It lends to their humanity,
right?
You know, because people just see them as some sort of commodity most mm-hmm. of the time, or a talent, or an athlete. They don't see the human side of them,
right.
unless it's something where they've messed up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And so to see this really bodes well, and it brings me to another. This is. You didn't know this, but I have to say this about Demaryius Thomas. Rest in peace. The news came out this morning that he passed away. But the reason that it aligns to this is because I think it was Peyton Manning's tribute to him this morning that said this was the kind of guy that showed up for everybody's charity.
Yeah. Man.
So Bebe, that was his nickname when he was at Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up for everybody. He was just a good human being. 33 years old. He would have turned 34 on Christmas. So, you know, rest in heaven, young king.
Yeah. RIP, man. That's, you know, I woke up yeah. to that news early this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, what happened? Like, and I, you know,
yeah.
It's just so sad to see. I remember like, you know, he came out of Georgia Tech just like, you know, Calvin Johnson, Megatron. And yep. I remember seeing mm-hmm. him and I was like, yo, what are they eating down in Georgia? But
Yeah. No, but a good human being from everything you read and see about him. And so, just hearing, you know, just us talking about these cleats makes me think about him and just his yeah. His own charity, the things that the things that was important to him as he just retired this past year. So I'm sure he had his cleats for his cause too on his cleats for a few mm-hmm. years. And just knowing that he was that kind of person, like Peyton Manning said, that would, you know, support everybody's cause. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that thing got me this morning. I just said it.
Yeah.
It got me this morning. I was done. I was done. So, yeah.
Well, Steph, we at the end of another one.
Yeah.
But before we go, what you watching?
Listen here. I might have been one of the first people to I couldn't wait. All I saw was the previews for this and said, oh, I'm watching this.
Uh-huh.
As soon as it gets. And so Amazon Prime,
mm-hmm.
in their attempt to try to keep up with all of the other streaming services and all of the other networks, basically,
yeah,
created their own show called Harlem.
Yeah.
And it is about four African-American women living in Harlem and just their everyday struggles to be strong. I don't even want to use that word. Let me just take that one back. To be beautiful and just surviving every struggle that a Black woman has,
yeah.
In a classy, unapologetic way.
That's it.
And go ahead.
Is it like a more kind of a dramatic? Because you know, Living Single was more like sitcom. Is it more like a dramatic feel?
It gives you yeah, it's more dramatic, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's got its humor. Right. Obviously, it's just, I don't know. It was just really, I felt like they touched on so much,
right.
In those 10 episodes, it touched mm-hmm. on so much stuff that just hits home as an African-American woman. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was just something, I don't think it's just for us. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I feel like anybody, male, female, whatever, ethnicity, race you are, you could watch that and find something that would entertain you. But for me, what it did, and I put this on a post, between it's refreshing for me as an African American woman
mm-hmm.
to see there is queens, sisters, our kind of people, First Wives, what is it? Yep, First Wives Club. Bigger, and now Harlem. That's six shows on TV right now on different networks that are representing African-American women.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this in my post, it makes me feel like a badass.
Yeah, that's it.
It does.
I like it.
Because we're being celebrated, finally. Right. Some kind of way, giving us some room to be who we are. Unapologetically.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I love it. Yeah. I'm gonna have to check that out.
You gonna get ready.
Amazon Prime.
Just know you're gonna be, listen, I told my aunt, I told my niece,
uh-huh.
I told my best friend, every one of them said I couldn't get up. Binge watched the whole season.
Yeah, oh, it was one of those. Okay. I'm on it.
My aunt was like, oh my God, that was so, I tried to tell y'all. It was, no, it is Megan Good, Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Like this ain't no, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The main character guy. Can't think of his name. It's just, and the gamut of the different types of, they're all friends.
Mm-hmm.
But just the differences in who they are and how they are and how they represent in the world. She's a professor. Megan Good plays a professor at Columbia.
Oh, wow.
You know, like it's dope. It is dope. Yeah. It's dope.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that one out.
Yeah.
I like it.
Listen, I might watch it again. That's how good it was.
That's how it is. Oh, man.
That's how good it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm back to watching.
What you watching, sir?
I'm back to watching The Chi.
don't sound so excited.
No. I love it. It's one of those things where it's like when I go back and watch shows like that, and anybody who knows me knows that I've watched The Wire a million times. every time I go back, I learn something different about the show that I didn't know before when I first watched it. So going through the first time, it's some things that I think I missed that I'm seeing now that I'm like, oh, that helps me understand the writing of the show a lot more. And, you know, I'm big on that, like the writing of the show, like how things come together. And it's like, so this is, you know.
Yeah.
So, so I'm back to watching that. I had to convince Ronnie into watching it. And now that she made it through the first season, she's hooked. So.
Hooked. Okay. All right. That's probably like me. I need to start. I still hadn't watched Snowfall. More than one episode.
Step.
I know. I keep thinking about what it's about, and it just keeps me from.
So forget the surface level stuff of what it's about, because it goes a lot deeper than that. And some of the things that you,
I believe it.
You know, you're going to see through the writing will take you on, you know, a different path than just seeing like, okay, this is a story about drug dealing and how, you know, it goes a lot deeper. You know what I'm saying?
I believe you. So, I know you're not just watching it because they're drug dealers. This is not New Jack City or nothing. Yeah. I get it. I just got to get past it. I'm going to get there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you start watching it, you're going to be hooked. I'm sure.
Okay.
It starts off a little bit slow, but once you start watching it, you'll be hooked. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot. All right. I got some time. We got weeks before college foot, you know, now that college football is, the bowl game start, but I, you know, these right. first few.
Yeah. Oh, not the first few. You're not going to watch Army versus Navy?
Don't play.
Don't do our servicemen like that.
I'm going to be quiet because I don't need no backlash. I'm going to just be quiet.
And here I am being sarcastic, Lord.
Listen, help me, Lord. I'm going to be quiet.
Help me, Lord.
Oh, man. You know. But so, all right.
We are at the end. If you want to reach out to us, you can definitely hit us on our email. And that's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on our socials, Twitter and Instagram. Our Twitter is @field2therealp1. IG is @field2therealpodcast. Definitely interact with us. We've been posting a whole lot more.
So proud of you, brother. Yeah.
No, listen, if it wasn't for you, nothing would get posted.
I said, I'm going to make sure he get this, because he going to make sure something get out every day.
Listen, I get like 4 or 5 notifications every evening.
Yep.
Did you post? Post something. Yeah. No, but you can certainly go there and interact with us. Our Facebook has even been a lot more lit. Thank God for cross.
Oh, really? Platform. I ain't even looked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God for the cross platform stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you can go to the Field to the Real podcast and like our page on Facebook. But make sure you go to our YouTube page. Subscribe, like, share, comment, definitely comment. You know, we always love the feedback. You know, tell us the stuff that you loved about the episode, interact with us, jump in that who's really right and argue with us. You know, we truly appreciate that.
Argue with us?
Yes, okay. Argue with us, yes.
Argue with us. Right. Okay.
We truly appreciate you guys for listening. We thank you for the uptick in the listeners. We love you guys. But we out of here. Peace.
Peace. I got on a black shirt today. We're not playing. And then look what it's saying. What would I look like saying that?
Right. Peace.
No, thanks. Good.
Oh, we out, y'all.
All right. Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.